Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
My name is Owen McGabinow, and welcome to episode 107 of the Process Breakdown Podcast. Are you overwhelmed by how much work you have to do each workday at your company? And do you want to discover how to systematize your business? In this interview, my guest reveals how he went from working until 10 p.m. daily to getting freedom from work by systematizing the operations of his tutoring company. You will also discover how he built an online platform with over 4,000 tutors across the UK. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Scott Woodley, and he is the co-founder of Tutora. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this interview is all about getting entrepreneurs like yourself who have been able to systematize their business operations so that it runs successfully without them having to be there. And so that we can keep our listeners tuned in all the way to the end, I want you to share with the listener some, what are some mind-blowing results that you now experience as a result of going through that the process of systematizing and automating your business?
I suppose the systems we've put in place have what's really allowed us to scale so rapidly and to such an extent whereby we now have nearly 4,000 tutors across the UK, but there's still only three of us servicing those guys. It's also allowed us to keep costs down, and that's kind of let us roll out so quickly across the country.
That's awesome. And I'm also wondering, how's your company be transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Massively. When we first started, we didn't have those systems in place. It really was a case of, Mark and I, my co-founder and I, just making calls after call after call, chasing everything up manually. I remember having scraps of notepaper all over the place. But the systems we put in place have really allowed us to scale. And focusing on the business elements that we need to, instead of kind of planning in our day-to-day activities.
And if the reality is we're systematizing our business to improve the business, but we also have some personal benefits from that. So I'm wondering, how has your personal life been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Hugely transformed. I mean, I remember when we were first making all of those calls, we were working till 10 o'clock at night, emailing over weekends, just trying to catch up. But just having those ideas, those systems in place that have allowed us to kind of take time away from the business, knowing that when we get back, we're going to know exactly what allowed us to kind of get outside, enjoy the wonderful weather in Sheffield, and actually spend time with our partners and friends. And I think that's really important, because otherwise you just burn out. We need that energy to be able to continue and do our best in our working days.
And since you've actually systematized the business, I'm wondering, how long have you actually been away from the business?
Yeah, it's a good time to ask, actually. Not much at all. I mean, we're still a startup, after all. So we still have an incredible amount to do, limited budget to do it. Mark's managed to get away a week away. I've took a couple of days here and there. But yeah, I'm going away Monday and Tuesday. So looking forward to it.
That's awesome. And so, what exactly, just to give the listeners some context as to the business and what you guys do. So what exactly do you guys do, and what big pain or problem do you solve for your customers?
Okay, so Tutora is a marketplace that allows parents and students to find trusted expert tutors here in the UK. We effectively allow tutors to promote and advertise themselves by creating profiles. Students search for the best tutors nearby, book lessons with them. We take a commission based on the work the tutors do, so we help tutors plan or take all of the payments. But basically, we're helping people find the best tutors around for private tuition in their own home.
That's awesome. And so how many full-time employees do you guys have? And even part-time, I'm curious.
Yeah, so we've got one full-time employee alongside Mark and I who work full-time. We're both the co-founders. So there are three of us in total. We also use contractors for various different elements of the business as and when we need them.
Okay, but the tutors, are they independent contractors that work on your platform?
They're self-employed. Our tutors are self-employed.
Okay, and so you guys build the engine, the tool that they do used to do their work all exactly. within that. Okay, I just want to understand the context of what's going on. Okay, so is the company profitable? And what was last year's annual revenue, and what are you expecting to generate this year?
Okay, so yeah, we're just coming up to the first 12 months in business, and we'll have done around 250,000 of bookings in that time. We're hoping to do in excess of £1 million worth of bookings over the next 12 months, and £2 million in 2017.
Okay, so take us back to when the business was not systematized and even automated like it is now. What was wrong with it?
What's wrong with it? I'd say probably nothing was wrong with it, to be honest. I mean, the beauty of that was, and I think this is something that's key for systematizing any business, is ultimately putting things into place in systems only when you're really sure that those are the solutions that the business needs and your users need. So when we were doing it to start with, we didn't have those systems in place, but the business was great. I mean, we were taking calls from students, we were searching for all the tutors, calling them. We were acting as middlemen. Mm-hmm. So that was a great service, but it was something that we just could not sustain and find the best tutors and scale the business. So really, in doing that, it's allowed us to scale the business.
And so the thing is, I'm also trying to find out, you know, was there a specific low point or even like a breaking point where something happened in the business and you were like, no, I have to change this business, make sure that I get it to actually being able to run without me?
Yeah,
share the story with us, because we want to understand the pain that you were going through.
Yeah. So I suppose it's on weekends when you wake up at kind of 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning thinking, I should have called that. That tutor, why have I not called that tutor? They've got a lesson today at 10 o'clock and they don't know where they're going. It was horrible. You had so many people's lives resting on you, not their lives, I mean, it blows it out of proportion, but their kind of day-to-day activities, they were waiting to hear from you all the time. And with that came a lot of responsibility. And I think it was just when you're working tirelessly to do that and you don't have the systems in place, it's just unsustainable completely. And it made you question doing a startup in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, what was the very first step you took to systematize the business? Do you remember the very first thing you did? What goes through the first step?
I suppose the very first step was just kind of thinking of the idea for the business. We always wanted to create something that we could scale, something that we could become a nationwide or international business. So to do that, even before we started, we had to think about, well, could this solution work without us?
Okay.
But I think from that point, it was once just getting going and really getting stuck in and actually being on the ground doing and speaking to our customers, making sure that we could find out what we needed solutions were. Once we had those real solutions to code, and then we don't need to be involved ourselves personally.
So we got disconnected there for a second. And just can you repeat the last statement you said?
Yeah, I was just saying effectively, we basically just looked to kind of ask our customers what they needed, find things that worked for ourselves in terms of the calls we were making. And when we found we were doing the same things over and over again, then we knew that we could code them into true solutions that could be systematized.
Okay, so just make that more concrete. So what were those things that you discovered that you guys were doing over and over again? Just give us a few examples.
So, for example, when we were getting tutors, students to find the right tutors for them, we would effectively be kind of contacting loads of different tutors ourselves for them, and then creating message threads between them and links. But we were acting initially as a middleman between them. We would be calling a student, taking a call from a student, calling a tutor, finding out what their availability was, matching them up. But then we quickly knew that actually we wanted students and tutors to be able to do that themselves very quickly, threads together so that they could communicate between themselves. And then we could see how long it had been since they'd messaged, mm-hmm. and find which students needed our help at which points, so we could put them into buckets, and then we could deal with all of the same students in the same way. And that would then allow us to kind of find solutions for different groups of students, and encode those into automated procedures.
And so what was the second step you took to systematize the business?
Figured out the biggest, the different needs that we had. It was deciding which of those to code first, looking at which was having the biggest impact on our working lives, how much of it was taking our time, which students we needed to solve the problem for the most. And therefore, that would free up ourselves as business owners and entrepreneurs to kind of invest our time in other areas that were going to be more profitable for us. So it was deciding which had the biggest impact on both our students and ourselves.
So it sounds like to me like it's basically thinking through the entire process was the first thing. And then now, after having a list of all the different things you want to do, figuring out which of those ones would have the biggest impact to decide, okay, that's where we start with. Do you remember which one or two things you felt would have had the biggest impact that you started with?
Yeah, I think when we first started, it was really seeing those students all the way through to the end of the process. So from their initial message through to confirming their booking. So I think from our point of view, it was really chasing tutors to respond. So building in kind of a response driver. Something that we could improve the communication between the tutors and the students. So we started off sending off emails to the students and the tutors once they'd got a new message, and that allowed us to
drive engagement, right?
Yeah, within exactly. We no longer had to be those people who were making a call or dropping a text. Those emails firing off automatically when a new message was sent allowed us to step back, and that just provided us way more time to kind of automate, make other areas of the business.
Was there any other thing besides driving up engagement within the app that was a big impact that you focused on next? I was just wondering.
Yeah, I think it was also once we'd started to recruit more and more tutors, it was having that automated system whereby a student would create an account and we would fire it off. We'd have to look at every single account and be texting every single tutor or calling them to explain which bits of their profile needed to be completed, which bit they said missed, where they could improve. So we created an automated system whereby if they hadn't filled in their kind of title tag or put a profile photo on, we'd text mm-hmm. them up and say, please add a title tag in your photo.
So that's kind of like a welcome note where you're like onboarding them through the steps that you would have done manually, right?
Yeah, it's improved hugely over time. And that just everything we do is to save ourselves time and to allow us to grow.
So was that kind of like onboarding the tutors with their own way of onboarding them, as well as onboarding the students with their own series of steps as well?
Yeah, I think to onboard tutors, we drop them a message to create their account. Once they've created their account, we drop them reminder messages to keep completing their account. And those emails set out the different areas that they still need to be completed to create their profile and ultimately go live to be matched with students. And then when students come to the account, we message them at various next steps that they need to complete to be able to secure their tutor. And even once they've got a tutor, we'll message them to ensure that they're happy with the service they're receiving.
Yeah. What other steps did you take to systematize and even automate the business?
So I think it's all about the admin side of things for us. We have students and tutors engaging. Now, those students and tutors get to various steps really throughout the process. It might be the first message they send to a tutor, the tutor doesn't get back. We need to follow up with that tutor and prompt them to get back and match that student with other tutors. So what we've done is on the back end of the site, we've built various sections and buckets almost of the different students.
Segments and stuff?
Exactly, yeah, to segment our users to say where they are in that process. We can then action those different segments in different ways. And in doing so, once we've done that personally hundreds of times and we're really happy that we've honed what they need and that procedure, we can then automate that so we can code it out into automated text messages or emails. And that way we allow our students to receive a really great service because it's so quick and efficient for them to find the best tutors.
Great. And so I'm wondering, you said you use impact as a means to decide what to work on, but I'm wondering, was there any other factors that took that you considered when deciding how to prioritize what to work on first besides impact?
Yeah, money. Money, definitely. I mean, we always have to bear in mind as a startup, we've been fortunate enough to raise some investment since April. But I think in those early days when we were first setting out the systems that we needed, we had to contemplate how much it was going to cost us to build the different systems. There was no point designing an elaborate scheme whereby text messages and emails fire at different points if we couldn't then afford to get that contracted to be built.
Okay, that's fair enough. And so I'm wondering, it sounds to me like you guys have more of an automation going on where you've built like this automation workflow that is doing the work interfacing with both the customers who are the tutors as well as the customers who are the students, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, were there any kind of things that manually people would have to do? And so I'm wondering, how exactly did you even document procedures and processes for the business for things that are repetitive tasks that, you know, human beings within the company have to do?
Yeah, I suppose, funnily enough, I've just been sitting documenting it now. But I think up until this point, we haven't really documented much. There's only been Mark and myself at co-founders, and we've just since taken one other person on who's kind of learned it as they've gone. But I think the real beauty of that is that our administrative panels are so intuitive that we don't really need to code a great deal. Our business is one that but isn't too difficult to understand, really. It's students, parents looking for tutors, tutors looking for new students. So the buckets are quite self-explanatory in the fact that there's somebody who hasn't found the right tutor. We need to put them in touch with other people. So actually, and really, it's not too difficult to understand and to see where they are based on the buckets that we've created. But I think also that our business has moved really quickly, so documenting things has just not been a priority. I think now, as we grow, we're going to start to have that transition between a startup to what will hopefully be a larger business. And I think at this point now, in the juncture we're at, we're looking to kind of start to document those procedures a little bit more.
Yeah, and I wanted to make that distinction clear for the listener, because your business is more of building that platform where, you know, both your customers interface, and, you know, that's why it's focused more primarily on the automation part of things as opposed to documenting procedures and processes and having things manually done by your employees. But anyways, it's still a good to understand how, you know, you guys are building the business, and that's why we're doing the interview. So, you know, moving forward, I'm wondering, even at the time you were even like, you know, systematizing and automating the business and, you know, and creating this engine that your you know, both customers use, I'm wondering what books or even mentors had the most influence on you and why?
I think really it's, from our point of view, it's just looking at other sites out there. Those have been our biggest mentors, looking at the work that sites we really love have done, whether that's kind of Airbnb is a classic, or whether it's dog babysitting sites. Mark, my co-founder, set up a dog babysitting site when he was initially creating a business to kind of practice his coding. And just looking around on the internet, looking at the systems that other businesses have put in place, looking at how we as clients of those businesses have responded, that's where our kind of inspiration comes. So I think that's probably the best way of exploring, rather than looking to any one individual as a mentor. Although we've been very, very fortunate in working out of the University of Sheffield here in the UK, and having great people around us in the city as tech becomes bigger here.
Okay. And so when you guys were, you know, initially building this, the systems you guys use for your business, now I'm wondering, because if we only talk about what you've been able to achieve and not talk about the challenges you have, we won't, you know, have a well-rounded interview. So I'm wondering, what were the biggest challenges that you guys experienced initially as y'all tried to systematize the business and even, for the most part, automate it?
I think in our business, the nature of tuition and our clients, parents are looking for guidance to find the right tutors. And so whilst we look to automate, it's knowing how much to automate. We still want that soft touch business where we build up a personal engagement with our clients. So we have to balance out that need to automate. And I think as well, there's something to be said for going slowly with all. I think a lot of businesses, and there's There's definitely
can you repeat that? You said, all I heard was slowly. That was
I think you need to go slowly in thinking about what to automate. I think
why?
Because I think there's definitely a temptation to rush to implement automated procedures and systems that might not ultimately solve the business needs. And we made the mistake, and I think this was one of the biggest challenges to learn from us, was we automated a lot very early. And what actually happened was the build took ages. There was quite an expense to it, and I think that was a mistake. So now we use much more of a lean methodology where we try to put things in place and then test them. And then once we've really nailed down those procedures, we can then automate them more slowly and gradually, knowing that the new automated procedures are right for our clients and for us as employees.
Just because the listeners who are listening might not, you know, have like a software or marketplace platform like you do, some of these terms we're using, they might not understand. What do you mean by lean startup? Just a quick summary of that.
So lean startup is a kind of ideology of business whereby you don't take too many gambles, I'd say. It's testing things and having that feedback loop where you have an idea. You think about how you could test it, what your hypothesis is, and what results you would look to see if it was right and if it was wrong. Doing something in quite a scientific way that you can then test and then put into place if it's right. And if it's not, then you can pivot and change your idea, test it again, and then put it into place once it is right. And we do that in all areas of our business now. That's kind of how we approach business. We have an idea that this is what we think our tutors or students would need. We test it by putting it into practice with the conversations that we have and the interactions we have with them. If it's not quite right, we'll change it slightly until we get it right, and then we can automate.
That's awesome. And so I'm wondering, so we talked about the first challenge already. I'm wondering, what was the second biggest challenge you guys experienced?
I think it's, for me, honestly, it's a case of stepping back and trusting the systems that you have in place. I really want to make a difference to the people's lives. The people who use our site and our users, make sure that the service we provide them is really, really great. And sometimes I think it's difficult to rely on systems and trust an algorithm or trust buckets to pick up the right people, especially when you're so connected to the business yourself and you so want it to be a success. So I think stepping back and trusting the systems that you put in place is, for me, one of the biggest challenges.
Okay, so trust being one of the challenge, and so I think during the interview you also talked about how there was some technical challenges as well. Talk about those.
Yeah, I think as well it's a case of future-proofing your business, so you can automate things to the scale that you're at currently, and I think that's something that's all too easy to do. But I think it's about making sure that you've got the systems in place that are going to allow you to grow. So you always have that tension. It's spending more at the current time to enable your business to be ready to get to that next level and maybe a few levels up. But I think that's really important, not to kind of just think, okay, well, this is my problem now. How can I solve that? Well, here's a system that will solve it. If that ultimately means, okay, well, here's my problem now. If I solve it in this way, ultimately in 2 years' time, that will be redundant and I'll have to do it all again. And that's not going to allow our business to expand and grow.
So let's make this point concrete for the listener by using a specific example. You said something about thinking about features. So use a specific feature that you guys were working on and how that was a challenge regarding this point. That way the listener, you know, it's more concrete for them.
Okay. So I think from our point of view, we have buckets and segments of students. Segments is probably a better word. We just use buckets in our office. We have segments of users. Now, when we first started, we looked to segment those students on the individual student and what they required. But sometimes students are looking for different tutors. They might not just be looking for one. Now, if we segmented a student based on their desire to have a tutor, that doesn't then allow us to cope with if the student wants to find a maths and English tutor. So really, we're looking for not just basing our work on the student as a whole, mm-hmm. but the student and their relationships for the different inquiries they have. And it's systematizing our business based on the different inquiries they had, that allows us to future-proof against, to grow more rapidly and therefore serve our clients in a better way in the future. Even though that demanded more of an investment at the time to build out that system, it allows us to progress quicker in future if we get that done straight away.
And what was the issue you guys had with scale, being that you're building a platform? Talk about it specifically.
Okay, so I mean, we effectively want to build to a point where we can service students and parents across the country, if not internationally. Mm-hmm. So to do that, we didn't want to have an agency style system whereby we were using the phones a lot to call and individually manage all the business. And ultimately, nowadays, I don't want to go onto a hotel site, put in my inquiry and then have someone call me and then I have to wait for them to call all the different hotels for me. I want them that information to be there. So we want to deal with people's inquiries as efficiently as possible without us them having to ever contact us. And I think that's about finding the way in which you can segment your users more marginally and then providing procedures that will service them in all of those different areas.
Okay. And so at what point did you feel that, you know, you guys had actually, you know, automated the business that it actually could run without you?
I'd love to say we're at that point. But of course we're not. We're still doing that. So just before I came online to you today, I was sitting thinking about the next steps in which we can improve the automation that we've got. At the moment, I think we're doing a pretty good job. There's only three of us. We still offer a really personable service. It's something that we're constantly striving to improve.
Okay, so let's say you're not 100% at the point where you say, you know, it's totally hands off. Give us a percentage. Where are you now?
I suppose we're at the point we want to be for the size we are.
So say if 100% is you guys are not, you know, everything is just running without you guys having to be there. Where will you guys be now?
Well, if we weren't in the office at all, things would go pretty smoothly for 90% of the time. But the 10% of the time that we're needed, then people would be pretty unhappy, I think, that we weren't around.
Well, 90% is not bad. I mean, some businesses are like 10%.
Yeah.
90%. Yeah. So just so the listener kind of understands, you know, the different parts of the business currently right now, I want you to use an analogy where I think of it like a conveyor belt. On one end is the, it's twofold because you have two customers, right? So usually it's easier when using this analogy when you have only one type of customer, but you have two types of customers, the tutors as well as the students. So I want you to show us, you know, imagine on one end of that conveyor belt is a student who potentially has needs for a tutor. And then the other end of that conveyor belt is that same student who has now, you know, used your service, is out there raving about you guys.
Yeah.
What exactly is happening behind the scenes, you know, to make that transformation happen? So I wanted to talk about the different parts of your company that's making that transformation happen. And if you can also walk us through that same conveyor belt on the tutor side, assuming that it might be different for the experience of the tutor. So walk us through it.
Okay. So I think for students, when they first come to our site, they search for, well, for students, sorry, when they first come to our site, they search
Let's
for...
Let's probably start on how you even get them in the first place.
Okay. So, yeah, we advertise heavily online. So when they come through to our site, it's generally from us advertising on search engines.
Yeah.
Or other listing sites. So when they come through to our site from there, sometimes we will send them off to a landing page, but other times they'll come through to a homepage. They'll then search for a tutor based on their subject and code. From there, we use an algorithm which takes a lot of information that we collate on the student, on the tutor's previous experience and the views of their other students. So that orders the different tutors for them to represent the best tutors for them at the top of the search results. Mm-hmm. Where they then will create an account and send a message. Now, once they do that, we have a job board now. So that creates an automated list of pending jobs. All we do is reframe that, making sure it's written nicely and easily understood by our tutors, and then we post that live. Tutors then can automatically apply for those jobs, and students will receive lots of inquiries from tutors who are relevant and who can help in their area. So that's one way in which we automate the procedure. We used to manually rematch anyone who didn't initially find the right tutor for them, but that saves us loads of time as admin. Similarly, we once they send that initial message to the tutor that they have selected, an automated text and email will fire off to the tutor so that they can then click on a link on their mobile phone, and that logs them back into the site, and then they can respond using their phone, almost like they're texting each other. Same for the student. Again, that makes the process really efficient, but it takes us out of a loop of having to rematch them. We track where the students are in their journey, so whether they have contacted a tutor and whether that initial tutor can help. So tutors click a button to say, yes, I can help this student, and when we can leave them to have that conversation. Whereas if a tutor clicks, sorry, I can't help the student, we can then post a job for students who might otherwise have been lost in the system. And again, that will just come through to pending for us to create the job. Once they've then been chatting, we can track the amount of time it's been since their last message, and then we've got automated prompts for them to contact each other and get chatting again. And then once they've booked in a lesson, the tutor books in a lesson for the student. Once they've agreed a time and location, the student gets an automatic email asking them to confirm the lesson by entering their payment details, and they also get a text to remind them to do that. They enter their payment details and that confirms the lesson. An automated text gets sent to the tutor and the student at that point, exchanging their phone numbers so they can have a chat, and they can message each other in case they don't find the right way to get to the lesson. And then basically once they've had their lesson, we take payment 24 hours later from a card, which is all automated. We use Stripe. And then we pay the tutors directly into their bank account 7 days after the lesson. Again, that's all an automated process, and our commission is taken from that. But until they get to that point, once a tutor has created the lesson, we segment those users. So those students we class as pending if they've yet to confirm a session. So we give them a call and we can make sure we can talk through that process. But automatic messages are put in a message thread to remind them and to help them explain how to do that. So those alongside all of that, once they've then had their lessons, we then have different segments of students as to how many lessons they've had, where they are in that process. We have reminders for students and tutors. We have automated systems that say when their next lesson is coming up, when we've invoiced them. We also have automated systems that ask students to leave reviews for tutors. So that builds a trust in our community. So all of these things are kind of done very automatically and prompt users throughout.
And I'm glad you just walk us through the workflow on the student side. I'm wondering, you know, is there anything on the tutor side of the workflow that you want to share with us that we've not talked about yet?
I suppose it's a very similar setup in that tutors get automated reminders. There's pop-ups on their dashboard. We're building out a notification system which will notify tutors to new improvements on the site, guide them when we think they can improve the service they offer. And those types of things will all help us further automate the business in future. But I think, no, it's pretty similar. The one thing, as I touched upon earlier, was when tutors first sign up, we have many automatic reminders that tell them how to go about completing their profile and getting it to the point where it's good enough to go live on our site.
Yeah. And so I know earlier you mentioned how one of the things you guys did internally with your admin tool for managing students is that you set it up so that it kind of like shows like maybe it's a Kanban board or whatever, like you're showing different buckets and you're moving the students through the different stages. So that's kind of how it helps you guys to know exactly what to do for that student, specifically in that stage. But I'm wondering, besides this kind of thing you have in the admin on your dashboard internally, I'm wondering, are there any other systems you have in place that enable your employees to know what they need to do besides that? And if there's nothing else, you know, feel free to say that.
No, I think those are the general, the main ways that we do that. I think this, what I would recommend some other services that we've used. Twilio has been fantastic. So that's an automated text sending machine.
SMS text, right?
Yeah. Okay. So that really allows us to supercharge our business in the fact that so many of those students then receive messages so quickly, and so tutors can know exactly when they've received a reply, because frankly we're all on mobile phones nowadays, and whilst we've got email capability on those, I think we're still primarily reliant on text messaging for speed. We also use obviously hotkeys, but
what is hotkeys?
Just so we can use the kind of all the shortcuts on our keyboard. It sounds so, so simple, but I think the amount of people I see who are clicking around with a mouse all the time instead of, I'm on a Mac, so instead of using a command button to its full potential is just crazy. It saves me so much time just going between screens. And when you're working through buckets and you're working on kind of a high volume business, I think the time you can save on that is huge. Across the year. But Gorgias as well is something that we find really helpful. So that's a kind of a text expander machine that allows you to, let's say, type in "freed." You will then create a paragraph of text that you use quite often in your messages to people. It's not that we want to avoid that personal touch. It's just that if we know that that is the best way to word an answer so that people understand it, then we may as well write it in that way.
That's awesome. And so, I'm wondering, how do you even track the results and delivered by your employees in your system?
Okay, so yeah, we've got loads of inbuilt metrics on the site. So we track revenue, we track conversion over different points of time. So whether that's 3-month conversion, 6-month conversion, we have cohort analysis to track the impact of the decisions we make and ensure that we're always moving in the right direction. And we also just calibrate the different implementations we have for new procedures and systems so that we can see when we've put something in place and then track the impact of that new policy or procedure over the next kind of month or two.
Okay. So you have metrics in place, KPIs to track each of the different things. That's good to know. And I'm wondering, it seems obviously that compared to when you started when you started the business initially, and now it seems you have more free time because you've automated a lot of things. I'm wondering, with this free time you have, which areas in the business do you now focus on now and why?
So we're looking to just get out there to more and more people. I think we've started to do some content marketing, just creating a blog for it ultimately improves our buying with our customers and it offers a better service. So we're also looking at advertising. Since securing a bit of investment, we've now got a larger budget to go out there and expand the business and scale it. So we're really focusing on getting out there to more parents and recruiting more tutors. So we're now looking to hit 5,000 tutors by September, good nationwide coverage, and really focus on expanding and building out new services as well, so we can kind of step back away from the day-to-day workings of a business, as it were, mm-hmm. and look at where we want to be in 6 months, a year, and start planning and being more strategic for that rather than just having to deal with the demands of our current clients.
I'm wondering, what's the very next stage of growth for the business? You know, what do you plan to do and achieve?
Yeah, so we've just rolled out a couple of new features, but we've got a few more that we're really excited about. We've kind of, when we started, we had this vision of really improving the tuition industry in the UK. I was a primary school teacher, and parents just didn't know where to look for the best tutors. They rely on word of mouth. So we're looking to really change that industry so that they can go to our site and know that they're going to get the best tutor. So to do that, we're recruiting really heavily at the moment for new tutors. We've taken on lots of tutors very rapidly, and we're going to be advertising for those guys come the new school year. It's a really exciting time. September's coming when children go back to school, in the UK, and I think we're basically looking to roll out those new features that are going to make the process even smoother, improve the tutor dashboard, for example, so the tutors have a better experience when they're booking in lessons and contacting their students, and yeah, looking to make the most of the investment we received.
And so as we come to the end of the interview, I'm wondering, you know, because the reality is you talked about how, you know, primarily you've built a system, a workflow engine that actually allows it so that your customers can actually use the tool to get work done. And at each stage is showing them what they need to do next. But I'm wondering, maybe the listener might not be necessarily at that stage where they're trying to build a platform like you are, but I'm wondering, what is that very next thing that you think that, you know, would apply across the board to, you know, any type of listening that they should, we got a next step that they should take regarding at least getting the business to the point where it can actually run without them?
Yeah, I'd say don't rush it. And I think if you are at a point where you've systematized a lot, and you kind of, you're just about to jump in and go to that next stage of automation, I would say just go back and talk to your customers and make sure that what you're about to automate is what your customers want. I think it's all too easy to rush and automate something because it will take pressure off yourself as a business owner, and because it will allow you to go and watch a bit of football on a Saturday afternoon. But I think ultimately it needs to be done because you are sure that that is the right thing to do for your users. So speak to them, make sure that you've got it really honed, and then look towards me. I think also plan how you're going to test it. So once you do put that system in place, generally these things are things that you can roll back from, but I think you can't do that if you don't have something you can test, and a hypothesis that you're looking to prove or disprove.
During the interview, the pre-interview, you said something about asking the listeners should ask themselves about something they hate the most about doing in their business, or even what their employees hate the most. Talk about that and how that plays a role into...
Yeah, I suppose that's what I was saying about kind of going and getting the feedback, going and speaking to your users and speaking to your employees and thinking yourself, like, the question we continuously ask ourselves about our business is, what do we hate the most? We find that generally if we... And we also ask our users, you can ask people, what do you think of our business? And they'll always say something nice. If you ask them, what do you hate about your business? They'll generally be pretty honest and tell you what the worst thing is. And then it's that you can go and change. And that will have the biggest impact on your business.
That's awesome. And so what's the best, even before I ask you this question, this is another question I want to ask you, is there a question that, you know, you were actually wishing that I would have asked you during the interview that for some reason or the other I didn't get to ask you? Go ahead and pose the question and the answer.
I suppose for me, and the question is always, when you're automating, how do you go about which element to automate first? And I know we touched upon that, but I suppose it's balancing the money you have, the time you have, and how long it will take to automate it. So you can do things that will take a day and they'll improve things a little bit, but it's when to say, okay, well, that thing that's going to cost an extra couple of grand and take 2 months to build, when is the time to just go for that? I think that's the kind of question I'd always like answering, and how other people go about making that decision for themselves and their businesses, because it's really difficult. I think we've all got things that can be and take away a lot of time for us, but it's deciding which one to do and in what order.
Okay, I like that answer. And so, what is the the best way for the listeners to connect with you and thank you for doing the interview?
If they want to get in touch with us, they can drop us an email at support@tutora.co.uk. Check us out on Twitter, Tutora UK, and Facebook as well.
And so now I'm speaking to you, the listener. You know, thanks for listening to the interview all the way to this point. And just because you're here at this point, I want to invite you to leave us your honest review on iTunes. To do that, go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes, and there you can leave us your honest review on there and hopefully give us a 5-star review. And on top of that, I also want you to, if you're not another entrepreneur that will find value in this interview, please feel free to share it with them. And finally, if you're at that stage in your business where you're tired of being a bottleneck and you want to literally, you know, document step-by-step, you know, procedures for how you get repetitive tasks done so your employees know what you know and even track that the tasks are being done properly, well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Scott, thanks for doing the interview.
No, thanks for having me. Pleasure.
And we're done.
Yeah, great stuff.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.